The Lifeboat Hour with Michael Rupert, Sundays at 9 p.m. on the Progressive Radio Network.
Nightclub at the end of the world. Hi, this is Michael C. Rupert, and welcome back to the Lifeboat Hour. We made it through another week. Hallelujah. Boy, things are really getting sporty out there. Before I came on the show tonight, I was looking at my daily take that I have for the World News Desk. I have my own method that I've developed over many years of gathering intelligence, and that's significant because our guest tonight is a former Army intelligence officer. We could have a fun sidebar conversation someday. But I'm going through the take of stories, and you'd have to be brain dead not to understand that the world is going to hell in a handbasket, and the afterburners seem to be kicking in. We're going to talk about a lot of things tonight, but as we speak, Libya is a huge mess, and all of the checklist items for a NATO intervention appear to have been crossed off. My question is, and we'll ask our guest Jim Rawls tonight too. I don't know whether NATO can stand up to handle this or not. There have been so many cutbacks, but that's coming. And the oil is about ready to go through the roof, because one story that I clipped from Libya today is that the British military has sent two C-130 Hercules, and they're doing armed evac via helicopter from oil fields in the southeastern part of the country. And they're pulling out all the British oil field workers, which means that Libyan oil fields are being shut down, and it's not easy to bring them back online. So oil is going through the roof next week. And I, frankly, wouldn't be surprised reading the economic news if we didn't see a huge sell-off like the ones we saw in 2008 next week, and probably as soon as tomorrow. All the news is bad. This is not an Arab revolution that is occurring. We see it from Mauritania to India. 40,000 people protesting food prices turned out this week in Delhi, India. We had that on the World News Desk. The Chinese are terrified of what's going on. And, of course, we're having our own uprising here in the United States as a synchronized move, as I predicted at CollapseNet, to basically eviscerate public employee unions of their collective bargaining and pensions has been launched around the country. It's now in about 10 states. Florida just cropped up over the weekend. They're going to make a move down there, and Florida could be a real wild card in this mess. But nonetheless, here we are, and I'm really glad that we're going to talk about what we're talking about now. I want to talk just a moment about CollapseNet and how we're doing there. Our guest tonight, Jim Rawls, who runs Survival Blog, is one of the most popular entries in our free Lighthouse directory with more than 1,000 very carefully hand-picked entries for resources, and I'm not the only place that has them. There's Bob Waldrop's Running on Empty groups from out of Oklahoma City, who is doing great work. We have tonight's guest. There's lots of resources, and our aim is to hook you up with as many as possible. We have just at CollapseNet passed 3,500 members in 60 countries, and obviously since we've been calling things right here for quite a while, people are starting to remember. So it feels good to know that we're helping people to prepare for what's going on. We've been adding a lot of new features. We have many regional blogs there at CollapseNet. The membership there is $100 a year. Everybody's got to figure out a way to pay for this. We now have 11 employees, and they need to eat, and they're giving their heart and soul to this. I've never seen such dedication, except for maybe the instructors at Tom Brown's basic school that I went to a few weeks ago. But these are spicy times, and what's good is that it's a real privilege to meet people who are doing really, really good and useful things. Survival Blog is .com. I just discovered somebody else I think is trying to play on that. We'll ask Jim in a second. Is just a treasure trove of information. It was founded by a guy named Jim Rawls, who is a former U.S. Army intelligence officer. I'm sure he knows that I come from a CIA family, and I've been around that block a time or two. He's a full-time blogger and a freelance writer, but I really like reading who he is. He's right up front about everything that he stands for. He's done quite a number of things. He's got opinions, but I think that that he'll agree with me when I say that neither he nor I nor Bob Waldrop nor anybody else, Transition U.S., any of the great guests we've had on the show now for the past seven months. We're all dedicated to helping people get as ready as possible so that they can deal with what's in front of them. Jim, welcome to the Lifeboat Hour.
Thank you so much for having me on, Mike. And I think you're right about what you said about the common ground that you have with Survival Blog. I think the amazing thing about the preparedness community is that it transcends the whole right-left paradigm.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of people that are on CollapseNet and that are on Survival Blog that, on a political basis, probably don't have a lot in common. But we can basically all agree that it's important that families get prepared no matter what happens.
That's
and
right.
We can set aside our political differences to concentrate on the things that we do have in common.
That's a real. I don't think I'm overstating when I say that's a real point of honor for guys like us, crusty old farts that we are. What is your take on what's going on out there in the world right now?
Well, I think economically we're seeing the end result of the credit market collapse that started in 2008, and it's turning into what I think will be a decades-long global economic depression and the eventual destruction of the dollar and the euro as currency units. And the food riots that we're seeing going on is just one aspect of those collapsing currencies. That's just one physical manifestation, and I don't think we're anywhere near the end of the food riots.
You ever seen one in person?
The system is broken when you come right down to it. And I don't stress politics a lot in my blog, although I do have quite a bit on economics in my blog.
Yeah.
I try to emphasize the nuts and bolts of preparedness that everyone needs to be aware of and to get busy with what I call the beans, bullets, and Band-Aids of preparedness. Because I don't think we're going to stop this train wreck from its completion. It's going to unwind right in front of us, and we need to be prepared.
Let me just tell the listeners that if you'd like to ask Jim a question tonight, and you may have some pretty specific questions, this guy's like a walking encyclopedia, the toll-free number is 1-888-874-4888. 1-888-874-4888, or you can email me directly at lifeboathour@collapsenet.com, and I'll read your questions on the air. I just wanted to get that in, Jim. Have you ever seen a food riot yourself in person?
Not in person, but I've watched enough around the world to know that they all have a lot in common. They're not pretty, and the last thing you want to be is someone who's right in the middle of a riot, and following riots, we usually end up with police actions, and the last thing you want to do is to have your neck under a jackboot, mm-hmm. which is what usually happens. And then following that, there's usually huge economic dislocation, and the other category you don't want to be in is refugee. Mm-hmm. The life of a refugee is very short, and life is cheap for refugees. That's why I recommend that people relocate to, a safe sanctuary-type area in a lightly populated agricultural area that's well removed from major population centers. Because anyone that's in a major metropolitan area is likely to end up on the wrong end of a riot, the wrong end of a police baton, or worse, you know, the wrong end of a bullet.
Or the wrong end of a fork.
Conceivably, yes.
I've announced this week that I'm pulling the plug here in Los Angeles. I'll be moving up to Sonoma County in Northern Cal. It's not way far out of the Bay Area, maybe an hour north, but there's really strong community there. And after I've been looking at all this, I've kind of concluded that I can do without pretty much everything except for my friends, you know?
Right. Yeah, I commend you for making the move. I actually recommend that people move even farther out. If you are in a lightly populated area that adjoins a heavily populated area like the San Francisco Bay Area, it's very important that you end up in either a small community, or if you're going to be in the boonies, you want to be on the side road of a side road. You mm-hmm. don't want to be on any major refugee lines of drift. Because if the cities ever fall apart and refugees hit the road in large numbers, they're going to follow natural lines of drift. You want to stay off of those, or otherwise you're going to end up a statistic.
Exactly. You know, I'm one of the things that I've been following closely, and I predicted pretty accurately on the World News Desk, is that starting back in November, I was saying very clearly that a bill is going to be passed allowing states to go bankrupt, and what's going to happen, it's going to be a full-scale frontal assault on public employee pensions and benefits. And sure enough, that's coming to play not only in Wisconsin, but in Ohio, Indiana, all over the country now. 10 states involved, now Florida too. New Jersey is going to be real ugly. I've got friends who were SWAT team members in New Jersey. And it's clear that the state's going to move on that too. But I picked up two stories this week. I want you to comment on about that. One was from Britain. It was kind of a questionable publication, but it was well sourced from journalistic standpoint. It had some credibility. It named names. It said that the British military was being trained how to run and operate prisons in the event of a labor action by prison guards. And then I found a story here from NPR, I think it was, that said that, guess what, National Guard troops in Wisconsin and other states are now being trained how to run state penitentiaries in the event of labor actions against police officers. How much does that bother you, Jim?
Well, that's obviously an item of concern. I think as time goes on, we're going to see the government go through an amazing array of contingency plans mm-hmm. because they'll recognize the fragility of the system. And if they have half a brain, they will make those contingency plans. For us as a citizenry, it's quite troubling because I worry about our constitutional rights being trampled on. The last thing I want to see happen is martial law. But as the economic collapse unfolds, the likelihood of it is very high.
Now, I had at From the Wilderness, which was my own old newsletter. You may know that mm-hmm. We broke the Pat Tillman cover up. Me and a writer named Stan Goff, who's a retired master sergeant from U.S. Army Special Forces, taught at West Point. One of the most brilliant human beings alive. And I read through the Patriot Act from cover to cover, and I read through, God, that was horrible, and I read through Homeland Security cover to cover. And what I gleaned from both of them was that the absolute priority of the United States government was not strictly, but first and foremost to protect critical infrastructure. Then Stan and I did a little work, and at the time we could only figure that there were maybe 13 combat brigades in CONUS. So the question of widely applied martial law kind of didn't ring true to me. Are there enough troops for that?
No, there really aren't. I think if we do see martial law come down, it'll be concentrated on controlling urban populations.
Mm-hmm.
And by and large, folks out in the hinterboonies are going to be left alone. And the flip side of that is it's going to be what I call yo-yo time, which stands for you're on your own. We may see a situation where for the folks that are out in the wilderness, there will be no law enforcement available.
Yes.
You'll be basically left to fend for yourself. So you'll have to provide for mutual security with your neighbors. You want to establish what I call a neighborhood watch on steroids.
That's a kind way to put it. I did a whole show on guns. One of the other day jobs I've had along the way was I was manager of the largest gun store in the state of California, B&B. That's the store that LAPD went to for the for their Bushmasters during the North Hollywood shootout. And I got to shoot everything, and I had some fun. But I also got to learn a lot more. I've also spent a lot of time with green beanies, is what I call them, special forces guys. I still call them that. And I'm a fan of 45, like a Remington 870, you know, like a Mac 90 or an AK if you can find one. You know, keeping it simple and sticking to basic calibers. How does that ring with you?
Oh, absolutely. I recommend that people have a very short list of calibers, and those all be just basically ubiquitous calibers. You know, things like 308, 30-06, 30-30, 7.62 by 39 for the AK, and then for pistols, 9mm and 45, and for shotguns, 12-gauge, and, of course, 22 long rifle. You want to get the calibers that are the most commonly available and stock up in quantity, because you'll need ammunition both for your own needs and for barter, and to help arm your neighbors that don't look ahead. You want to be well secured, and
yes,
part of your security is going to depend on neighbors that you can trust. And you might be in a situation where you have trustworthy neighbors, but they didn't plan ahead. They may have a 30-30 with literally one box of ammunition.
Right.
So you want to be able to have extra ammunition that you can distribute to family, friends, neighbors, fellow church members, and then a few extra guns, and preferably not semi-automatics, because some of those guns may end up in the hands of people who are not very experienced shooters, and they may get a little trigger happy.
Training is
so
everything.
Bolt actions.
Training is everything. Oh my God! Yeah, that's so important to become thoroughly.
Right. And you
familiar.
Can take a rifle like an AK or a SKS and turn it into a manually operated gun by disabling its gas cylinder, so it turns it into a straight pull bolt action to slow those people down, so they don't dump a whole magazine in 10 seconds. Yeah. You know?
We're coming up on a little thing we do every show. I'm in a band called New White Trash, and we just produced last year a double CD called Double Wide, 37 original songs that I was pleased that for once in my life I actually got to do something that I wanted to do that I'd wanted to do for a long time. So we play a song every week from our CD, because they're all written about these times. The song I picked for tonight is called It Would Be Strange, which features wah-wah guitar by my really good friend Michael Yost, who is just a guitar legend here in Venice, California. But there's a great line in this song that the band put in there just to help us deal with times like this. The line says, "Don't let the fear turn my ears and eyes off. It would be strange." Here it is. Strange. I just love that song. Anyway, that was It Would Be Strange from New White Trash. You can find the band and the CD double-wide at www.newwhitetrash.com. You can listen to all the songs for free. They're all original. I co-wrote 13 out of 37 and sang on 20. You can download it for $11.11. You can buy a CD for $20 or something like that, $22. And you can get a custom CD that's handcrafted book, a great coffee table book that'll make you a producer on our next project if we do that for, I think, $54. I don't keep track, but you've been liking the music. So that's the commercial plug, and that's good. We've got about 6 minutes coming up on the break. If you want to ask Jim Rawls a question, the number is 1-888-874-4888, or email me direct at lifeboathour@collapsenet.com. We have a caller on the line, Jonathan from Plymouth, Plymouth Meeting, Pennsylvania, on the phone. Are you out there, Jonathan?
Yes. Hello?
Hi. What do you want to ask, dude?
Hey, Mike. How you doing? Listen. I've been a ClassNet member since June, I think. Mm-hmm. I also read Mr. Rawls' book, How to Survive the End of the World as We Know It. And Mr. Rawls, that book was great. It really gave me a lot of insight. Living here in Philadelphia in Plymouth Meeting, which is outside of Philadelphia, I've looked on the Lighthouse directory on ClassNet, even on Transition Town's site. There is nobody, I mean nobody around here, that has any idea what's going on. It mm-hmm. scares me. I mean, it's weird. It's like a sci-fi movie. Nobody understands. They can't see what's right in front of their faces. And sometimes I just feel so alone. I mean, I don't know what to do.
Let me ask you a question. Have you done the survey up front for membership and plotted yourself on a map? Because you know that all CollapseNet members have access to a map that plots the other CollapseNet members by proximity to them. Have you tried that on our site?
Yeah,
I'm sure there's people around you.
Excuse me?
I'm sure that there are people around you. We have a lot of members in PA.
Maybe I'm doing something wrong.
Ironically, I think that if you go to a place like New Hampshire or Vermont or Maine, you'll probably find per square mile more like-minded people.
Yep.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's really strange. Talk about zombies. I mean, these people are like retarded zombies.
Well,
it's unbelievable.
How do you do that? I'm just trying to picture a retarded zombie. I thought they were already pretty dumb, but okay.
I mean, I'll tell you what. My dad has a lot up in the Blue Mountains of Pennsylvania, which is a much more rural, sustainable area. I'm trying to convince him, Dad, we got to build a house up there. We got to get up to that area because it's so much more sustainable. There's a lot of fresh water. There's wild game. But he's just not getting it. It's really hard to try to talk to these people when no one seems to understand.
Yeah, that's a big problem, and I don't think it's one easily solved. Carolyn Baker writes about that for people on
Collapse Net. I love Carolyn Baker. I read her articles a lot.
I'm sure Jim has insight on this, though. How do you talk to people who don't get it?
I hear the same thing coming from survival blog readers where people have relatives that I refer to as Pollyannas or folks with their head in the ground who refuse to see the fragility of society, the fragility of the infrastructure, and who refuse to prepare. And the best thing we can do for those folks is just continue to put references and resources in their hands and, you know, pray that they come along. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, all you can do is stock up on their behalf, try to get a rural retreat established, and a lot of those people may end up on your doorstep the day after everything hits the fan.
Right, because I tell them about it, and they don't listen. And when they come to my door, I want to say, look, I gave you the information. You didn't do anything with it. That's your problem now.
Well, you know,
I try to be more charitable, but yeah, they're going to end up with their hat in their hand looking very sheepish on your doorstep saying, yeah, you were right. So I recommend that you stock, if you can afford it, stock up extra grain, extra gardening seed, extra tools, and as we mentioned earlier, you know, extra self-defense items, because a lot of people are going to be day after kind of believers in the collapse.
And they're going to be confused.
I look at it from a Christian standpoint. I think it's part of my Christian duty to be charitable.
Mm-hmm.
Like as I often mention, here at our ranch, I have a 3-year supply of food for my family, but I don't look at that as a 3-year supply for one family. I look at that as a 1-year supply for 3 families.
Mm-hmm.
I think also, you know, there's a hard, crusty part of me who's seen a lot of death and a lot of tragedy along the way. Part of what I'm telling people too is that you need to also go inside and prepare yourself that maybe not everything and everybody that you love is going to make it. And that's a very tough thing to do. It's something you really never do successfully until it happens to you the first time when you see somebody you've worked with get killed in a combat situation.
It's going to come down to a triage kind of situation where, you know, you do your best to help out others, but your first responsibility is to your own family.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I'm caring about my dad and my cats. Basically, that's it.
Well, I always use the line that says, it's what the flight attendant tells you. In the event of sudden loss of pressure, put on your own oxygen mask first.
Right.
And that's a real solid attitude. You can't help anybody unless you're stable, unless you have a grip on your situation. That's why I strongly recommend it to anybody who listens. The Tom Brown standard course is just amazing for getting
that's something
your
else. Mike,
right.
I got to ask you this. He's located in New Jersey. I'm in Pennsylvania,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Is he still up? Is he still doing his thing in New Jersey? 'Cause I remember you saying that up in, I think, Oregon or something.
He alternates between New Jersey and the Santa Cruz Mountains in California. So he teaches in both locations. Just go to his website, trackerschool.com.
Yeah, that's definitely on my list.
And find out
what
the
schedule
is. Tom Brown
is absolutely legendary. He's quite a guy, and I highly recommend his books and his courses to folks.
Yeah, I better hurry up, too, huh?
Yeah. I just went through the standard course, and Tom and I have hit it off very well, and I've attracted just a lot of amazing people since the film Collapse came out. Men that I'm pretty humbled to be standing in their company sometimes.
Wow.
Dick Marcinko and just, Leo DiCaprio, and just a lot of really cool, solid people. And Jim is certainly one of them. But we're all pretty clear that there's a lot of things you need to do, and now is the time to be doing them.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we are coming
all
up.
Right,
on
thank this, you.
Yeah, thank you for calling, Jonathan. We're at half past the hour. It's time for a station break. Otherwise, they're going to come and put me and Jim in handcuffs and take us away. So we'll be back right after this break.
Listening to the Progressive Radio Network, your number one source for progressive commentary.
Mike Fader here. Every Thursday following Gary Noll from 1 to 2 p.m. Eastern Time, I will expound and expand on stories, both personal and public, attempting to make the sometimes ephemeral but always essential connections between our internal landscapes and our external lives. So please join me, Mike Fader, Thursdays from 1 to 2 p.m. Eastern Time for The Turning Point, here on the Progressive Radio Network.
Hi, this is Karen Hartglass, host of It's All About Food on the Progressive Radio Network. Please join me every Wednesday at 3 p.m. when we talk about the power of the fork, how our food choices affect our health, the environment, and the treatment of animals. Learn how a plant-based diet of fruits, vegetables, whole grains, legumes, nuts, and seeds is not only delicious, but gentle on the planet.
Stephen Lindman hosts the Progressive Radio News Hour, Saturdays and Sundays, as well as currently on Thursdays, as an antidote to government and corporate propaganda on the most cutting-edge world and national topics. Distinguished guests are regularly featured to provide commentary and analysis impossible through the dominant media, offering biased, irresponsible misinformation and what Project Censored calls junk food news. The Progressive Radio News Hour is Thursdays from 11 to 11:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, as well as Saturdays and Sundays at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on the Progressive Radio Network. Make it a regular habit and stay informed.
This is PRN, Progressive Radio Network.
fires last glow. Welcome back to the Lifeboat Hour. Our guest tonight, Jim Rawls of SurvivalBlog.com. That was me singing Who's Driving This Train Wreck. I wrote a lot of that song, and I sometimes you just got to blow off a little steam, you know? What the heck? Jim, I got a question about concentration camps. Now, I've been holding a position steadily for about a decade that there are a lot of people who are afraid of concentration camps all over the country. And I said, no, you're wrong. They're not going to put 300 million people in concentration camps. It's too expensive to feed them, and they don't have that much money for guards. They're firing them left and right. Jim, what's your take on all these long-held beliefs out there that there are concentration camps waiting for us all?
Well, I think that whole threat is vastly overblown.
Yes.
The risk of that is quite low. If for someone who is very politically outspoken, yeah, there's the possibility that you might get disappeared. But for the vast majority of people, even for the vast majority of people that are in progressive circles or that are in libertarian circles or outspoken folks on the right wing, the chances of even them getting whisked away are very slim.
Yes.
So I think that people need to just basically, you know, take off the tinfoil hat and not worry about that. Instead, get serious about making substantive preparations.
There you go. Okay, we've got Cesar from New Jersey who's got a question. Cesar, are you there?
Yes.
Cesar, hi. How you doing?
Yeah. Hey. Yeah. Yeah. I wanted to ask you three questions. Yeah, Jim, I appreciate your input and about the drifting. And I'm in Jersey. I'm in southern Jersey. And so when your other caller talked about Pennsylvania, Philadelphia, everything, I felt pretty close to him. You know, it's not like that's reasonably close distance. And I'm interested in what areas you find are particularly attractive sustainability-wise. And I guess I need to do some homework as in terms of, you know, looking on both your sites for like-minded groups and stuff like that for cooperative efforts.
Yes. If you look at my site, in the left-hand bar, there's a button marked Retreat Areas. And there I have recommendations on 19 Western states. I emphasize the Western states because of the population density. If you look at one of those classic lights of the United States at night photo murals, one of those montages, you'll see that the population density east of the Mississippi River is substantially higher than west of the Mississippi. So I recommend that people concentrate on those Western states and then particular states and particular regions within those states for strategic relocation. In the eastern United States, there's really not a lot I can recommend because, as I've mentioned several times in my blog, if we do get into a economic collapse situation, which is very likely, the chances are there's going to be a population die-off, as Mike Rupert has said, that will maybe exceed 70-80% of the population in the metropolitan areas. And for anyone east of the Mississippi River, your chances of pulling through that are pretty slim. You would literally need a 3 or 4 year food supply and, you know, hunker in your bunker and wait for the population die off in the hopes that you could live through it. The chances of you living through it are pretty slim. Even, you know, you're talking about New Jersey. I mean, where are you going to go? The Pine Barrens? You're surrounded by a huge population area. The ambient population is so high that even if you go to a place like upstate New York or the Catskills or wherever, you only have the illusion of low population density because you're surrounded by these massive population centers that are going to disgorge when everything comes apart, and they're going to go to lightly populated areas that are nearby and just overwhelm them. There won't be any wild game to shoot. It'll all be, you know, cleaned out. And your only real chance, the way I see it, is to move to a lightly populated agricultural area in the western United States and pick those very carefully.
And yeah, that's another thing that's really important, because I've since the documentary Collapse came out, I've been traveling all over the country. I mean, Massachusetts, Vermont, Minnesota, all over California, Oregon, Seattle, looking at many of these communities. And one thing I picked up was that you really can't expect to make it also if you just pick yourself up and find yourself, plop yourself down someplace else and remain alone. Unless you integrate actively
right.
where you go to, you're going to have a very hard time, because you're going to be a stranger. You're going to be a latecomer.
Yeah, you don't want to be the expendable new guy.
No. No.
Right.
You know, one of the most perfect places that I've seen is a place up in Northern California. I don't want to get too specific, but it's geographically very well protected, very sustainable, very off the beaten path, and it's a very diverse community. But what you see and what I'm seeing now and experiencing is that the communities that I have been traveling to, maybe 10, 15 of them, over the last 2 years since the movie's been out, year and a half, they're all tightening up really quick now. They're really starting to hum. There are connections being made. There's energy. It's really a joy to watch that, but you need to connect with that. Now, CollapseNet can help you with that by locating people on the map close to you who are members of CollapseNet. So maybe you can, you know, try to plan something together, especially for an egress plan, if you need a joint egress plan, because you don't want to... Mm-hmm. Be fighting that alone if you have a choice. So there's a lot of things you do, but you just start asking questions and looking around, I think, is the most important thing. I've got another question on hold. Cesar, I hope we helped you out a little bit.
Well, I did real quick. I'm also a musician, a songwriter, in the same kind of kindred spirit as you and your band. I want to compliment on the music.
Thank you.
And ask you, like, how one would network with you, maybe combine forces as far as music is concerned. If you guys are going to be touring, how that's going to work. And the last kind of tail end of that is how that's going to affect music and performance
sadly,
how the musicians kind of get our message around.
Sadly, there's no time for music now. This is there's just no time for that. There won't be any touring. And get a lot of acoustic instruments is what I would suggest.
That's right.
That would help.
You want to go unplugged.
We have a call on from Matt from Minnesota, who is on the phone. Matt, are you there?
Yes, I am.
How cold is it up there?
Oh, it's about 30 today. It's actually a little below normal, but it's supposed to be 37 this time of year, but so it wasn't too bad. I'm actually from your assistant's hometown, Max. So
oh, yeah.
I just talked to him the other night for the first time on the phone. Interesting character.
Max Mogren writes for us at CollapseNet, but he's now my personal assistant. He's a human Leatherman tool. He sailed a sailboat, 27-foot sailboat by himself from, I think, Vancouver all the way down to Colombia and South America and back. Took him 2 years, and he survived that. So, you know, he's got the sand.
Really?
Yeah, if he can go blue water solo on a J-class boat, he's got my admiration, that's for sure.
Yeah. So he's great when some hinges come loose at the house here. Anyway, Matt, what?
Well, I had two questions. One is last night I listened to Coast to Coast every night with George Noonery, and the guy from singer from The Fix, I think name was the band. He sings that Saved by Zero song. He actually plugged you last night down there last night, saying he's seen your movie and he actually lives in France now. So your movie is really making it around the world.
I don't
and
know
I
if France
if
was such a good
you've ever been on that show, Coast to Coast, that night and never thought about being on there if they asked.
Well, that was nice, and whoever it was, thank him a lot. I appreciate that. I wouldn't want to go to a country where I'm not a native now. Jim, what do you think about that?
Well, Coast to Coast is out of Los Angeles, actually, the headquarters. It's a nationally syndicated show.
It's supposed to
be bigger than Rush Limbaugh on that,
well,
I guess.
I think so talking relocation,
yeah.
I would be very reluctant to relocate to another country that
yes.
was not English-speaking unless I spoke at a fluent level of that language. And the best situation that I've seen is for a lot of my readers who have moved to places like the Philippines or to Honduras or Nicaragua, is if they're marrying into a family in the country, in the countryside of those countries, you might have a pretty decent chance. Otherwise, you're not just the expendable new guy, you're the expendable gringo.
Yeah, I mean,
you don't want to be in that situation. You really need to immediately immerse yourself in the culture and have a family connection. Otherwise, don't do it.
That's the sad part. Where you are indigenous is where you have the most strength and the most natural assets that you really don't miss until you don't have them anymore. You know, even locally, cities will probably become untenable, but at least you have an advantage for now in that you know the roads and you can think about how to plan to get out if necessary or, you know, even try to hunker down through an initial wave of unrest. Because what we're going to see here very shortly is, I think, a pretty much simultaneous explosion all across the country over the labor issues with public employee unions. Maybe that first shock you might want to ride out, but don't always count your blessings when you're in a survival situation. Jim, let me ask you this about your website. How is it organized? How is it laid out? What can people expect to find when they come to survivalblog.com?
Well, I've been posting virtually every day since September 2005, so I've got over 6,000 days of posts where there's a huge backlog of archives that have built up. You can print it all out as a PDF, but I've got to warn you, it's 7,200 pages long. And I've got articles on just about every topic conceivable for preparedness. There's quite a few on medicine, retreat security, small-scale agriculture, EMP-proof vehicles, you name it, it's all there. It's all searchable. There's a search box in the upper right-hand corner, so you can just type in a topic and join it with ands. You can bring up pretty much anything you'd like. All the content on my blog is absolutely free for the taking. A lot of it overlaps with my books, but you don't need to buy my books. You can pull it all off the blog. We recently created a Kindle archive. We're soon to create an archive on CD-ROM so people could keep that on their laptop. But for now, people can just download whatever articles are of interest to them, print them out, and keep them in hard copy or at least on a memory stick, because the Internet is, you know, not forever.
No.
And as we've recently seen, even governments can shut down the Internet at a whim. So be prepared to be off-grid.
Yeah, I think that was a big mistake the governor in Wisconsin made. He shut down a website of one of the labor groups. And boy, did that evoke images of Egypt right away. Tensions are really high. I mean, you know, people like Ron Paul, who I also admire greatly. You know, my two heroes in the House of Representatives were Ron Paul and Cynthia McKinney. And that's just because they were people of such personal integrity. But Ron's been getting more vocal. Mainstream isn't covering his statements as much, but he's really calling it like he sees it, with the absolute abject corruption that is now running Washington, especially the Federal Reserve Bank and everything else that's going on. And he's looking at our military situation. Maybe that's where we ought to go next, Jim. And talk about deployments. There's a lot of built-up energy right now everywhere in the world, and this is a global generational revolution. This is a whole generation of people looking at us baby boomers and the generations that preceded and beginning to realize that we used it all up. I think it's going to manifest that way. But let's talk about military for a second, Jim. I've been watching stuff, and I've been documenting clearly on the World News Desk that even though it's not hitting mainstream news, I become attuned when I see serious military moves by the Chinese government, which is on a massive expansion. Russia has now occupied the Kuril Islands because Japan is basically a carcass now that I think people are starting to feed on. But I'm watching really increased attacks on fuel supplies from Kandahar from Pakistan, supplying NATO forces in Afghanistan. And there's a major, major civil unrest occurring in Iraq. And Iraq's largest oil refinery has just been shut down. And we started the show, I was talking about Libya. And you know, the way I read stuff, Department of Defense is stretched pretty thin, isn't it?
They're stretched very thin. And if you look at, even from a personal level, the number of soldiers, sailors, airmen that have had back-to-back deployments, it's really putting a strain on military families.
Yeah.
And we really cannot, at this point, if, say, war were to break out on the Korean Peninsula and perhaps somewhere else, there's no way we could fight two regional wars at this point. We're already overtaxed, overstretched. It's just not going to happen.
So am I nuts in asking myself?
We've got a real vulnerability there.
Yeah. Is it possible that NATO is trying to figure out how it can stand up for an intervention in Libya?
It's possible, but, you know, the logistics of it would be a nightmare.
Yeah.
And just like Iraq, they're going to need an exit strategy, and I don't see an exit strategy. It would be a very difficult situation. And, you know, from a political and religious standpoint, it's a lose-lose situation.
Mm-hmm.
Because even if we were to go in, get Gaddafi out of office, the alternative is not very pretty when you have the Muslim Brotherhood, which is essentially a radical Islamic fundamentalist organization that's going to be setting up the new government. So I don't think that NATO is going to get involved. If they did, I think it would be very foolhardy.
Well, that leaves the alternative, and I'm kind of seeing that NATO will try, and that's only because Italy is going to go under. Italy is expecting to receive 400,000 Libyan refugees and try to absorb those while the Libyan economy, excuse me, the Italian economy is one of those economies in Europe that's about ready to tank anyway, and they're not being and they're not finding a way to do their bailouts. But the most important thing with Libya for me is that Libya produces 1.5 million barrels a day of a very light sweet oil, and oil is a fungible, but there is no elasticity anywhere in the system. And Saudi Arabia is getting ready to go. We're going to have some big stories on that on the World News Desk tomorrow. I was just looking at those.
Yeah. Well, even though Libyan production is only 2% of global production. As you say, the amount of production is critical. It's crucial at this point.
Yes.
And we can't afford to be without 2%.
That's why that may be the
straw that breaks the camel's back.
That's why I'm thinking NATO may be forced to try something foolhardy. There is a no win in this situation, Jim. And you know, Saudi is ready to fall, and I'm clear in predicting that the Saudi monarchy is doomed. King Abdullah just today, I saw two stories. You know, he came back and did this $34 million buyout, you know, like gifts and everything to food to the people. Now he's just announced that he's going to guarantee every Saudi citizen a state job. The guy is panicked. He's absolutely...
Okay, yeah, when you see him handing out billions of dollars and promising people jobs, you can see it's a desperation move.
Exactly.
They must be sweating bullets right now and moving lots of gold out of the country. I think the House of Saud is headed for a fall in the near future, and odds are there will be a fairly stable government that comes into place there, but it's hard to predict. And even though Saudi production is dropping, it's still four or five times as much as Libyan production.
Right.
And if we were to lose Saudi production,
that's the whole
world. We could
that's
see
it.
The price of oil jump to $200 a barrel overnight.
And it's not replaceable. That's the point. Saudi Arabia has 25% of the known oil reserves on the planet. And my good friend Matthew Simmons documented very well, as did many of us. I wrote about it at FTW, that Saudi passed their peak a long time ago, meaning that they cannot increase production now. And if Saudi oil comes offline, nothing will work at any price because you cannot replace the 7 million barrels a day from anywhere.
Right. Nobody's got flexible. Right.
Yeah. So, but what I'm very clear of is that we're going to see 150 oil very, very soon. Oil prices are going to continue to spike, and then we get the other side of the edge of the knife blade, which is that the whole global economy shuts down anyway, and we wind up back at the same point of collapse.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like I'm really glad for people like Jim and Bob Waldrop, who runs Running on Empty groups, because and me, all three of us are very upfront with our spiritual beliefs. You know, we just put it right out there. This is who we are. We don't, you know, we're not beating anybody over the head, and we just walk our own walk, and we walk that walk. But I think one thing that we're all clear on is that without some kind of a spiritual connection, you're going to have a very hard time dealing with this stuff. Jim, go ahead, take that. Run with it.
Well, I've always been a firm believer in teaming up with people that share a common faith.
Yes.
You know, whether you're a Orthodox Jew or a Christian or whatever, a Baha'i, I don't care. Team up with people that have that common faith, because in very difficult times, people are going to be under a tremendous amount of stress, and you don't need the additional stress of having people that you distrust as your neighbors and friends. You want to have that common bond so that you have a level of trust, because these are people that are going to have your back. These are people that are going to be standing, you know, guard watch with you 24 hours a day, and you're going to be living probably in very close confines, and with that common faith and the common morality, you'll be able to trust folks around your wives and daughters. So I think it's very important that people do team up with folks of common faith.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, and there's so much emotional stuff. I mean, from reading your resume in detail, it sounded like you did everything but haul the feces out and burn it in there with diesel when you were in the service. But you've seen combat. You've seen the effects of combat. And the emotional effects of that, I've seen it, been in it, too. The emotional effects of that are very difficult to deal with. And even if you see death of someone around you without a support group, there are no John Waynes out here.
Well, one point of clarification, Mike. By God's grace, I was a peacetime soldier. I was a cold warrior in the intelligence world.
Okay.
The good news is I got to do my wartime job in peacetime, because intelligence people get to do that.
Yeah.
So I got to see the reality of it all. But thankfully, didn't have any bullets coming my direction. But you are right that with folks that have seen the elephant, as they say, the majority of combat veterans out there all tell me the same thing, which is that it takes very little for a society to come unglued, and you want to be in a tenable position mm-hmm. when it does.
We've got about 2 minutes left, Jim Rawls. Thank you for being a great guest with us tonight. One of my favorite TV shows of all time was a show called Deadwood on HBO. I still love it. I watch it whenever I can find it. And one of the lead characters was called Calamity Jane. So I got to ask you, who the heck is Avalanche Lily?
Avalanche Lily is my new bride. I was widowed just a couple of years ago. And by God's grace, God put me together with a lovely young Christian widow who had children of her own, and actually remarried less than a year after I was widowed. And all I can say, I can't mention her real name, all I can say is that she is the ideal mate for me, and I really feel blessed to have found her, and I can't think of anyone I would rather be with to have a wife when times get hard than her.
You can offer big thanks for that. Everybody who is so blessed, please find the person that you feel that way about and give them an extra kiss on the cheek tonight. I do that with my dog Rags, who's kind of a star anyway. We got about 30 seconds left, so I'm just going to kind of wrap it up. Jim Rawls from Survival Blog, you are so helpful. Your blog is so loved by our CollapseNet members. You can find it at survivalblog.com. You will also find that listed in the absolutely free Lighthouse directory at collapsenet.com, where we offer you a lot of other services and hook you up with people who can do things. There's a lot of resources out there. Don't feel alone. Start doing something. Don't panic. And just know that if you're starting to do something even today to get ready for what's coming, you're no longer the slowest camper. And when a bear attacks the camp, you don't have to be faster than the bear. You just have to be faster than the slowest camper. Jim Rawls, thank you so much for joining us tonight.
Thanks for having me on, Mike, and God bless.
Okay, take care. All right, everybody, I'll be back next week. I'm thinking about, I've got emails out to Chris Martinson and Nicole Foss to join us next week. Nicole's already said yes. She's on a European tour. What I'd like to do next week, if we can get Chris looped into this, is to have a three-way roundtable on the economic situation and what you can prepare for. Quite frankly, what I'm preparing for this next week is a major drop in the Dow, a major price in oil, for Libya to get worse. I guess Muammar Gaddafi has lived out the weekend, but that's going to be a mess, and everything that's happening around the world is not going to do anything but get sportier, especially as American public employee unions realize that this is it, that this is a battle to the finish, and everybody needs to get on both sides of that debate, that there is no going back to the good old days. It's not going to happen. So we have our heads out. Thank you so much for being so loyal to this show, The Lifeboat Hour. I'll be back. We'll see you next week. Thank you.